better throw some respect on my name. Gotta remind these folks on the daily, cause I ain't really been myself as of lately. My mind's evolving and my heart is changing, starting to see the world how it should be. It's positively sweet.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode from Boys to Men. I'm your host, King Terramis, in the building. And yo, I got another person from the 850, but in the different city though. From the Tallahassee, also known as Tallanasty. But I got this man that I've seen traveling all up the coast, teaching people about financial literacy and sacrificing his time to educate one of another, and especially us in minority, you know, communities. And that's something that is missed a lot. So without further ado, let me introduce y'all, Mr. Terrence Barber.
Hey, I appreciate you, brother.
Appreciate
it. First of all, man, listen, it's an honor and a privilege to be afforded the opportunity to share this platform with you. My name is Terrence L. Barber. I am from Tallahassee, Florida. We're on the highest of Seven Hills, 6th Florida Agricultural and Mechanical University. So from the home of the Rattlers, man, it's been a great time back and forth to Pensacola. I'm considering Pensacola now my home away from home. Whereas my home office with the Loyalty Credit Union is also here, and I also purchased a home here last year. So I pay taxes over here. So
you might as well say you're from Pensacola. It's the better 850.
All right, man. So yeah, I love it here, man, and I appreciate you. I appreciate what you're doing. I appreciate the work that you're doing, and man, I'm happy to be here for sure.
Thank you so much. So, Mr. Terrence, I'm going to give you a chance to give a little background story to the people so they can get more in contact.
Gotcha. Well, I'm from Tallahassee, Florida. Born and raised. I've been an event coordinator, promoter, entrepreneur, business owner for the majority of my entire life. More recently, I took on a position as the director of community development for Loyalty Credit Union, which home office is here in Pensacola, mm-hmm. on 9 Mile Road. In December, a decision was made to merge with the credit union out of Tallahassee, Tallahassee Leon Credit Union.
Okay.
And my position by a good friend of mine was created as the director of community development. So whereas the work that I was already doing, it kind of synchronized.
And carried over.
Oh, absolutely. I get to do exactly what I love to do each and every day, which is a blessing.
And that ain't nothing wrong. But growing up in Tallahassee,
right?
How was that? Because look,
I grew up a little different.
Like you said, you down the street from.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, my story is a little different. Of course, it's not riddled with complete success stories. Of course, I grew up in Tallahassee. You know, like most black kids did.
Yeah.
I got in my fair share of mishaps. I'll call them.
Hey, trust me.
Yeah. All of my decision making wasn't always conducive to the trajectory that my life is on now. But God, you know, that's what I say.
Boy,
thank God
know.
I don't look like right, absolutely, man. And His grace is sufficient, man. So I just thank God that He never took His hands off of me, man. But yeah, growing up in Tallahassee, man, a household, single mother. My father struggled at the beginning of my life, and you know, growing up with three brothers, and you know, it was tough to a certain extent. But I'm not one of those people that would sit up here and say I just got everything out the mud. No, I had a wonderful family, man. My mother worked tirelessly. Actually, kept the same job for 42 years and worked herself all the way up to administration with a high school education. So, my father was he worked with his hands. He was a drywall business owner. He taught all of my brothers and I, well, myself and two of my brothers, how to do drywall work, man. And we still operate my dad's business. He passed in 2007. So, yeah, man, life ain't been no crystal stair. But sometimes the stairs, you know, the stairs are where you gain strength, man. Oh, yeah. You know, and I thank God that I wasn't on the elevator. You know, that now I know, I understand, like how, what falling feels like.
Right.
You know, and that's the best way to learn how to fly.
Yeah, because look, you gotta, technically flying is just falling.
Flying is falling.
Falling. You know? And your wings open and glide.
What goes up must come down, regardless. You know, I don't care how high you fly. You got to come down sooner or later, yeah, man. So life is good, man. I have no complaints.
I like that, because look, I'm similar, because raised by a single mother.
Right.
Father was really dumb. Actually, right. Wasn't dumb.
Right.
I had my granddad, my cousins, and my right. uncles there, and like I said, I know I ain't get it out of the mud like most people have right. to, cause my mom's similar.
Right.
She's still at the same job, but right. like moving up slowly right. and surely.
True indeed.
And it's just like,
true indeed.
Just seeing her dedication just long yeah. because she took care of me and my sisters and the work she did, like I always give her flowers.
Absolutely. Just, and that mm-hmm. whatever you had, whatever you got, that was all it took.
Oh yeah.
That was all it took. You know what I mean? I have no ill will, no hard feelings, man. I appreciate my upbringing, man, for sure.
Yeah, at first, it took me a minute to actually realize I had it good.
Man, listen, I had to become a father in order to realize that my daddy was the best daddy he could be. You know, he did exactly what he knew, you know,
to do.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So it's like, you know, I want to encourage anyone, like, man, listen, man, you're going to get what you're going to get, so get it while they're getting good, for sure. Like, you're going to get what you're going to get, man. Life going to throw you all kind of curveballs, man. You just have to be resilient enough. There's two types of people on this earth, man. That's the people that give up and the people that keep going.
Ooh.
You know? And I thank God for the people that kept going and never stopped instilling in me, you know what I mean? What I could be and the things that I can do, man. Because they said it so much that I started believing them.
I like that. So, being a father.
Yes, sir.
What has it been?
Oh, man.
How that experience been?
Man, it's probably the hardest, most rewarding, most stressful jobs I've ever had, in all transparency. I became a father for the very first time at the age of 17 years old. I became a single father at the age of 23. So I got full custody of my son in my early 20s. So I was, he was placed in my custody. I'll be honest, I didn't go seek after custody for him, but a situation took place. His mother has struggled with some mental health issues and drug abuse issues for the majority of his entire life.
Yeah.
And when I got the phone call that it was either me or...
The sister.
Right. Yeah, man, I manned up. So, yeah, so me and my son kind of grew up together. You know, right, absolutely, man. So now he'll be turning 26 this year. I have another son that I had when I was 19. He just graduated from the University of Howard. My daughter.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. Yeah, we got some successes in between the messes now.
I'm at the bar now.
I just made that up. Yeah, we got some successes in between the messes, man. My daughter, she's 15 now. She's about to turn 16, man. She's an entrepreneur. She grew up around entrepreneurs. She's taught herself how to do nails. So follow Tip by Terry, T-I-P-P-E-D-T-E-R. No, bye. T-E-R-R-I on Instagram, man. She fine. So yeah, man, life's been good, man. But yeah, fatherhood is for sure a journey, man. It's a marathon.
Oh yeah.
You never stop. It's like a race, like it never ends. And I thank God that he chose me for the job, man. I love my kids to death. I think that's exactly what keeps me grounded. That's exactly what keeps me going. Yeah, every milestone that I'm able to witness. And just the fact that I know that, you know, God trusted me enough
to put that.
Yeah, yeah.
And he won't give me more than they about.
They on loan, you know what I mean? Like, he didn't give them to me, he let me borrow them. And it's up to me to take care of them till I leave this earth and have to give them back.
Man.
That's what it is.
You just gave me another outlook on
Amen.
Fatherhood. You're basically putting the words what I've been trying to apply to my kids.
Right.
Especially my son, because, like, I can say I got full custody, but we got full custody, my
right.
mom, because during the time when something similar happened
right.
with his mom,
mm-hmm.
I was in the position where I could get him.
Right, right.
I had just moved out of my apartment, moved
true
back.
Indeed. True indeed.
But I'm grateful for my mom. Like, that's what I'm saying. My mom and my grandma, they stepped up. They said, boom. They're
right.
his legal guardians, but I'm there every day.
Absolutely.
Make sure he
man.
See me when
listen,
he wake
man,
up.
That's fulfillment, brother.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's a blessing.
Yeah.
You know, it gets stressful. True indeed, but life is stressful. What's life without stress?
I know,
you
right.
You know?
Hey, yeah. That part, because I've been looking at him, and the funny thing, because my son is really just me all over again. I just be looking
yeah.
at him before he gets up. Before he about to do something, I'm looking at him like, I already know what you're thinking.
Right.
Why? I'm like, right. why?
He got it honest.
Don't do it. I'm like, I've been in that boat before.
Right.
I know what
he
you're going to do.
Honest,
I know all this stuff. So
yeah.
It's like,
and,
but.
And you know, the main thing that fatherhood has taught me is grace, man. Like,
yeah.
you know, thank God for grace. man, because, you know, I didn't always make, like I said, I didn't always make the right decision. And I think that fatherhood has taught me that, you know, as we grow, first of all, parenting didn't come with a guidebook. Yeah. You know, it didn't come with a manual. And these kids are like clay when we get them, man. It's like you have to mold them and shape them, but at the same time, they're born with certain attributes that you can't beat out them, you can't teach out them. They just, some of them just got to bump their head. You know, that's the truth of the matter. Because you got to also understand that they not only just you, but they their mama too. You know, so fellas, be careful who you have kids with. So, you know, and it's not their fault. It's truly not their fault, man. But I do believe that, you know, there's good in all of them, man. And it's just up to us to just be there to help guide them along the way, man. Just feed them. Feed them and keep them out of trouble as much as you can. Yeah, give them an example to look at. That's where I'm at with it.
Yeah. I know, leaving this show, I'm going to have a way better outlook on my parents.
Come on, man. I ain't no expert. Hey, I got some experience, but I ain't no expert.
I'm with you on that, though. But, so you, I see you driving up the coast.
Up and down.
Teaching about financial literacy.
Yes, sir, man. I think that, you know, it all started, I truly believe that entrepreneurship and financial education go hand in hand. Yeah. I think that certain communities are teaching these things. At dinner tables or at the wherever they may be there.
In back door.
Right, absolutely. And a lot of times, like, talking about money in communities of color is a taboo subject. Like, I don't remember my parents bringing me into the kitchen and telling me, you know, this is how much money we have, this is how we're going to budget, this is what we're going to do, this is how much, like, we didn't have those conversations. And I truly believe that a lot of times, of course, knowledge is power.
Yeah.
And if we're not taking the opportunity to instill these ideologies into our children, where else are they going to learn them from? Like, the media and social media teaches us about spending money.
Yeah.
Like, that's glorified.
Yeah.
You know, what have you wasted your money on today is what we, every single time these kids logging on to these social sites, that's what they get, you know, embodied with. And we, as a, myself, in my day-to-day job, and I say, man, if they're going to pay me to go out and educate folks, that's a win-win situation, because I get to change the narrative for a lot of young folks, and that's who I really, my focal point is right now. I did a lot of financial education courses with adults, but of course adults, a lot of times I sit in their ways, I have these specific things they need help with, and a lot of times they need to see a seeker. Actual financial counselor. Like you need more help than I can give you in 1 hour. But we do also have a free program for that as well. But yeah, man, just trying to instill the knowledge into our young folks, man. Because the dollar, especially the black dollar in our community, man, doesn't circulate, man. And a lot of times these kids are being raised to just, you know, go to school and get a job. You know, entrepreneurship is not a lot of times on the table. Trade school isn't on the table. Financial education isn't on the table. Yeah. So I get an opportunity, man, to travel up and down the entire panhandle and help educate kids in a way that is received. You know, because of course representation matters, and I think that a lot of times when I walk into these rooms, I can tell who hasn't been privy to this information, man. So it's a beautiful thing, man. It's a beautiful thing. I love the work that I do.
I like it.
For sure.
So which community you feel, I ain't gonna say which community you feel like is the furthest behind in that subject? Is it really just us, or is it?
I wouldn't say it's just us, but nah, I mean, numbers, people lie. Numbers don't.
Yeah.
And I think that, of course, we all must admit that statistically speaking, the socioeconomic status in communities of color are far behind that of other ethnicities.
Yeah.
And that's just that's the truth of the matter. Can that change? Are there people? Are there very affluent people of color? For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Like in Tallahassee, FAM, Florida A&M has been educating black folks since 1887. So it's not an education gap. There is a wealth gap, for sure. And I think that with poverty, when your parents are so busy trying to make ends meet, when your parents are so busy trying to ensure that the lights stay on or that you have clothes and food on the table, do they really have time to sit you down and teach you about balancing a checkbook or how to? They don't. They don't. Do they have opportunity? Do they have time? Do they have the wherewithal to hire some? I mean, it's just not. it's not conducive to a lot of the lifestyle that a lot of these kids grew up. But I wouldn't put a color on it. But I will say that, yes, statistically speaking, brother, we are sometimes, we need to move the needle. And I try to be a solution-based person as much as possible, because, of course, it's easy to point out the problems that we have. But, I mean, if we all sit around and talk about the problems, who's going to talk about the solutions?
That is true.
Yes, sir.
Because I feel like most of the time, that's the only way stuff is going to get done.
That's it.
Because we can, like, they would do it all the time on the news, talk about what's going on.
We hear it all the time.
Like,
we hear it all the time.
What we doing to fix it?
We hear it all the time, man. And a lot of times they paint this picture that is, you know, they talk about crime and all these other things and atrocities that plague communities of color, but we don't talk about the poverty and the systematic oppression that comes along with that poverty, and that this crime and all these other things are symptomatic of the poverty. That, like, if you put money and businesses in this community, if you educate the folks in the community, then the crime rate will decrease. For sure. So
they take the money, but they don't want that to happen because they take the money out of their pocket and they system that they want to keep it running. They want us to keep running.
And that's why we have to empower ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, and I hate to put a color on it, but I'm just saying, like, I feel like every other ethnic, we have to empower ourselves. Yeah. We do, because it takes a village, man. I think that until we work on, you know, within, we got to stop worrying about what we're without. Like, we got to take care of home first, for sure.
Yeah, I can see that community is so big, because I work construction. Right. I work in a little bit of every little industry possible. Mm-hmm. What shocks me when you find out all these other ethnic groups and community, they don't mind staying with somebody in the group. They could build a community. It's like, hey, we're all bringing our resources in the one area. Mm-hmm. But the first thing I can remember is, like, hey, we 18.
You gotta get out.
and
it's interesting that you say that, because of course, like you said, other ethnic, they operate as a collective.
Exactly.
You know, they don't mind collaborating. They don't mind cohabitating, in order to get to the next level. But of course, like I said, man, we've just been, I don't know. I think the information that we've been receiving is false.
Yeah.
And I think that the narrative that we've adopted needs to be unlearned, for sure.
Yeah, I agree with that, because especially considering where we come from and where we at now.
Right.
We started at the top, now we...
Yeah, and it's like we're in competition to see who can waste the most money, see who can be the dumbest.
Exactly.
That'll get you the most likes.
And that's the reason why I don't get on social media like that.
That'll get you the most likes, man.
Because people be like, oh, you're boring. I was like, dang right. Because I'm out here
sometimes boring is better. Sometimes boring is better, man.
Boring is beautiful and peaceful.
If you do what's hard now, you get to do what's easy later.
Yep.
True indeed.
And it's funny because it all takes is one decision.
Man, life is just, every day we wake up, we get a chance and a choice. It's up to us what we do with it.
I feel like we just got to start making better choices of the chance with the chance we got.
Absolutely. Absolutely, because like I said, all it takes is one.
Yeah.
All it takes is one, man. Change your life. You know, downward spiral. Start with just one bad decision.
Yeah.
One bad decision. Because what you do is you wake up and you make another bad decision, another bad decision, man. It's like a snowball effect. You know, I think a lot of times people, we sit around and we talk about what we should do. We talk about what we should do, and then after so many times of saying what you should do, and you don't do it, I like to call it, you should all over yourself. You should all over yourself. And you forget, like, I'll let y'all borrow that one too.
I can say that, because when I coach basketball, everybody's like, man, I should have been here.
I understand.
But I think that's why it's so important to have, like, people like you, man, and mentors to actually, you know, be able, because it's so important, like, men in general. I realize even with my kids, they listen more when I'm around than it is when there's women around. Right. I'm not knocking the women, because they can listen too.
Absolutely.
But to see there and look at them like, hey, pull your side. Hey, I see you keep making this bad decision. Like, how about trying this option out? And so that guidance and that experience that you had, if the child is willing to listen, I know that play so much a big role when you're having that right. one person that just
And we must get back to that like that village mentality, man. Like it truly takes a village.
Yeah.
But I guess that we've another thing that we've adapted to, like most folks don't want you talking to their kids. Right. And also we're looking for in our community, mm-hmm. and I'm glad we got on this subject, I can speak candidly. We're looking for perfect leadership.
Yeah.
Like we're looking for perfection.
And they ain't never.
At the same time, thousands of people about to vote Donald Trump back into the White House. But we're looking for perfect leadership. We hold ourselves to such a high standard that we don't want certain people to speak to our kids. They may have a past or they may have made mistakes. And like, man, we really have to get back to that village mentality, man, because that's where we missing the mark, man.
I feel that. Because, hey, you said mouthful rip.
It's the truth. It'll set us free if we let it.
Yeah. Because it's been so... I know my mom, I had started thinking like this. I had to have a conversation with my mom, my grandma, and like my uncle, all of them too. I had something else like, hey, y'all putting this expectation on me and a lot of other people.
Mm-hmm.
And it causes us to be like, all right, if we can't reach this, we're failing.
Right.
It's like we short circuit. But I had to start, even with my kid now, I'm like, if you anything you do, this is my expectation. The only expectation.
Right.
Anything you do, just do your best.
And it's unfair.
Yeah.
And what I've grown to understand for myself is that two things you can keep. Your expectations and your limitations.
Yeah.
Save them for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, allow me to grow into the person that God...
The plan for you to come.
Absolutely. And a lot of times that journey looks different for some people. You know what I mean? So I think that a lot of times, and I don't think it's just in our community, man, but a lot of times, like, expectations can be dream killers for a lot of folks. And a lot of times, we as parents, you know, and our parents, we didn't understand, like, what effect that would have on our children, man. So like I said, man, grace, man. Thank God for grace. It's sufficient. Yes, it is sufficient.
I agree with that.
Yes, sir.
I know I ain't perfect.
Yeah, why would you want to be?
Because if I'm perfect, I mean, God, go ahead and take me on back.
Please don't put me on the pedestal. Because I might fall off. And then again,
I tell them straight up.
We ain't even blowing. I done fell off. Ain't nobody pushed me or nothing. I just fell off.
Hey, you're like, oh, what's that?
Yeah, boom. Yeah, why you fail?
I don't know. You said something that, it's funny. I realized a lot of my episodes, everybody say the same thing. Life throws so many curveballs at you. And you got to be prepared and do the best you can do with the curveballs.
That's all you can do, man. If you stay ready, you don't have to get ready.
So I know you got an event coming up on July 10th.
July the 10th, man. Working Class Wednesday, the ultimate networking experience, man, at 1216 North. Shout out to Mr. Tommy.
Oh, yeah, I'm about to say, hey, yo, and look, y'all ain't ever ate his food yet.
Oh, man.
Boy, y'all, food
busting, man. Like, so I met him when I first got over here. Matter of fact, I think I met him earlier this year, man, and I saw him on social media, and I saw the food, and I tried the food, and he reached out about, he's actually been a long-time member at Loyalty Credit Union. He reached out about the venue, and of course, this is my second Working Class Wednesday I've done in Pensacola. I did one back in September, very well received. Like I said, I've been doing it in Tallahassee since 2016, consistently. And this platform has not only provided for others, but it also has provided for me. So I see it somewhat as a ministry for me, and that's empowering small businesses in the community and building that bridge now between Tallahassee and Pensacola. So on July 10th at 1216 North, Working Class Wednesday, It's gonna be an amazing time, man. Like, we're supporting nonprofits in a for-profit world. Like, that's what we're doing. That's the name. That's the title, man. So I got some amazing speakers coming out. I hate to start naming people and forget. I know I got Abraham Scully, Hassan Real. Yeah, shout out to Scully. Shout out to Real. Alicia Tappan. Man, it's gonna be amazing, man. Barbara McNall from Loyalty Credit Union. I got Ms. Tara Lewis is going to be one of our hosts, Ms. Nicole Everett from over in Tallahassee, well, by way of Miami, Florida. Ms. Conversations with Nicole will be here, man. Shout out to Ayla Madison for all the marketing. Be Easy Graphics on the graphics, man. Shout out to DJ L. Smooth. He's traveling over from Tallahassee, man. It's just been amazing, man. It's been amazing, man. So July 10th, man, we're going to have some free food. We're going to try to raise some money. Look us up on www.workingclasswednesday or Working Class Wednesday on all social sites, wcw.tallahassee. On Instagram. It's going to be an amazing evening, man, 6 to 9 p.m., man. So we're inviting not only nonprofits, not only small business owners, but the entire community to come out and fellowship with us, man. It's been an amazing run. It's going to be great, man. It's going to be, don't cost you a quarter. It's an absolute free event.
Yeah.
Absolutely free event, man.
Shoot.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
Man, and shout out to Scully, because really.
Scully been doing his thing.
Yeah. I went to school. I went to school with Scully at UWO. When he was president of C100.
Okay.
But really, he was the first person to make me actually sit there and look at and visualize, actually, like, put a picture in front of, like, mental health.
Right, right.
The importance of it. And after that, I can go back and look and be like, I see the people that came to me that were struggling.
Right.
And I seen the times that I was struggling.
Right.
And I was like, it brought acknowledgement to
right.
these areas. So, man, shout out to all the work he's been doing in that, because if it wasn't him for actually opening that door to look at mental health for me.
Yeah, yeah.
This show wouldn't be him. This is what the show.
Sometimes that's all it take, man. Sometimes that's all it take, man. So I tell people, man, like, we are recreated by the renewing of our mind, man. And like you said, had it not been for just that one influence.
I wouldn't know nothing.
You just never know. You just never know, man. So, yeah, if you see something, say something.
Yeah. Come on, now, I'll tell y'all right now, it ain't no shame. Men crying, ain't no shame. Find a therapist, ain't no shame.
Ain't no shame.
Everybody needs somebody to lean on and to talk to.
Right.
Don't hold it in.
Right.
Because when you hold it in, it grows and it takes over you. And then, like you just said, you fall off.
Yeah, and then, your woman is not your therapist. Nope. Your children aren't your therapist. I would even venture as far to say that your preacher
is not your therapist.
It's not your therapist. When people seek professional help, I don't want it to be a taboo subject, because when your car breaks down, you go seek a professional.
Yep.
When you need a haircut, you seek a professional. When you're sick, you seek a professional. Yep. So when you need someone to talk to, when you need to unpack some things, why would you not?
See a professional.
See a professional. We're talking about your brain, your mind, the most important muscle on your body. Why would you not seek a professional for this form of maintenance? It just makes no sense. Make that make sense for me, brothers. Make that make sense.
Because I remember so many times that you, now that you said it, certain people be knocking it.
Especially in our community. Oh, yeah.
Now, I'm not trying to knock the religious leaders, but
Man, listen, I don't mean to cut you off.
Yep,
but I made a post a couple of weeks ago, and it got me, you know, it had mixed reviews, but don't spend all your time praying. Pray, but don't spend all your time praying.
Yeah.
I mean, faith without works is dead. And a lot of times, people right now, there are so many people, if you're out there watching, that need to go back. You need to go back to that point where they were broken. And they listen to people tell them that they just need to pray about it and keep going. Yeah. And they've been walking around with this weight for the last 2, 5, 10, 15, 20 years. And they're still trying to pray that weight off their heart. You're going to end up with a stroke.
Yeah.
If you don't go somewhere and get someone to talk to and service that, you need to service that weight to get it off of you, man. And a lot of times in our community, like you said, no knock to religion. But we can't pray everything away.
Yeah.
If that's the case, my therapist, God rest his soul, he passed away recently, but that boy wasn't cheap.
Yeah.
And guess what? He was worth every penny.
Yeah,
truthfully, he was worth every dime.
Yep.
So yeah, that would be my way of encouraging. Like you said, brother, there's nothing to be ashamed of. Of course, you don't have to make a Facebook post every time you go see your therapist. That really ain't nobody's business.
But you a good guy.
That's between you, your therapist, and God. Include your therapist into that conversation. You know, and let's not. God put therapists here for a reason.
That part.
He did. In other communities, these folks have they have a therapist on retainer. Like, they never fire their therapist. They have a doctor, a dentist, and a therapist.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
I'm mad because, like, the VA don't cover my therapist no more.
Oh, man.
So that was made me. That's the only thing that made me mad. I'm like, this is the person I'm finally, you know, when you find that one that, boom, that connects.
Right. And to be quite honest, the disparity is that you can get free health care.
Yep.
You know, you can get free dental care. There's programs for that. But when it comes to mental health,
that's the most important one.
And I have not found.
Like, free.
Even with I got great insurance. There's still I have to pay. You know, and the copay is much more than when I go see a medical doctor. And I think a lot of times, like sometimes they, some certain things are out of reach in certain communities. Yeah. And I think that's, I don't think that that's all by chance.
Yeah.
But seek help, man. Seek help. Stop unpacking. Because, I mean, if, until a man heals, I'm speaking to men, until a man heals, man, he's going to, you're going to bleed all over everybody that come into contact with you. A lot of times our relationship's not lasting.
Yeah.
We having these gripes with our children, our friends, man, because you haven't healed. A lot of times it's childhood trauma. I don't even get into that. Like,
oh, yeah.
But there's trauma that we're dealing with, man.
That we don't even know we're dealing with.
We don't even know we're dealing with. It's become a norm. It's like second nature to react a certain way. And we've adopted this ideology that, oh, that's just how I am. No, brother, you got issues.
Yeah,
you got issues that you need to fix. And we all do.
And we do.
We all do, man. And just like you have to maintenance a car, man, we have to make sure that mentally we are maintaining, getting ourselves maintenance.
I say, I told my uncle that's the trifecta, because it said physical, mental, spiritual.
Oh, absolutely.
If you don't take care of the mental part,
you got it. Then you're gonna fail somewhere else.
Oh, yeah.
You're gonna spend almost every day asking God to forgive you. You know, now you're leaning on your spiritual too much.
Yep.
Instead of trying to take care of what's going on in him and making, like you said, better decisions, man. Not, you know, one thing's gonna suffer.
Yeah.
And like you say, brother, we have to try. You know, I'm not telling you that we're going to be balanced every day. There's going to be some days you're going to have to lean on your spirituality more than you do your mental health or your physical health. There's going to be some days you're going to have to tear the gym up, because that's going to be your therapy for that
day.
You know what I mean? Like, but we have to make sure that we, like you said, brother, are taking care of all three things, man, in order for us to grow into the men that God. And I don't think we ever stop growing, for sure, because like you say, life, as life continues to throw us curveball, there are going to be some days. Trust me.
Man,
we all still have them. I don't think they stop. Not in this lifetime.
Oh, yeah. And, man, ooh, dang. Yo, man, Mr. Tinker.
What's that, bro?
Man, look.
Man, it's a good probably, show, man. I appreciate that.
Man, I thank you for coming, because, look, I know show. I would probably sit here for hours literally just talking to you.
Yeah. I'm going to start charging at a
certain point. But I know you're probably, that's what I was thinking. Look, I know, we already said this earlier. Hey, we don't go to a lot of places where we don't make money. And shoot.
I appreciate the opportunity, brother. Man, I'm about to come back on here, man.
Definitely.
We'll do it all over again.
Man,
I like what you're doing, man.
The doors is always open here.
For sure.
Especially, y'all, I'm working with a nonprofit called Leah Gibson Foundation.
It's nice, a nice space.
Nice space.
It's a nice space.
A lot of community stuff. Matter of fact, they will be providing free mental health care to children.
Oh, wow.
Coming around soon.
True.
So be on the lookout for that. So if you're
a
child in the local area, make sure y'all sign up.
Just sign your children up.
Yeah. They need somebody to talk to.
Right.
Hey.
You know Lil Ray Ray.
The crazy.
You know Lil Ray Ray need a little. Yeah.
Hey, ain't nothing wrong with it, because look.
No.
That's going to make him better.
Before he become Big Ray Ray.
What? Because the tools I learned from therapy alone helped me on a lot of dark days, dark moments, and helped me keep moving forward. That and the people that God placed in my life to lean on when I need someone to lean on. So, y'all, don't be ashamed to go find some help. Mm. Hey, parents, don't be ashamed of getting your kids some help, because everybody need help.
Mm-hmm.
We're not Jesus, or we're not God.
Absolutely.
Them the only two perfect people we ever heard of. So, we ain't that. So, help each other out. But Mr. Terrence, before we leave, I like to let you leave a little golden nugget for the people sitting here watching at home, listening to them on their phone.
Right.
Something that they gonna hold on to.
I would say that unfulfilled potential is probably one of the greatest atrocities, not only in the black community, but we as men.
Oh yeah.
We have there's a stigma placed on us and expectations, and a lot of times we falter. I truly believe that there are only two types of people on this earth, and those are the ones that gave up and the ones that kept going.
Oh yeah.
Les Brown has a prolific quote that I like to say in a lot of my speaking engagements, and that's about the graveyard. being the richest,
Place on the earth.
Place on earth, man. And that's where all of our unfulfilled potential
goes
to rest. He said, imagine being on your deathbed and all of the things you could have become are floating around your bed saying, you know, we could have come to life, but now we have to die with you. How much you going to have floating around your bed? How much? How much time do you think that you have before these things are circling around your bed? So I would tell everybody that, man, the best place to start is right here, and the best time to start is right now, you know? So, yeah, man, I hope that this show has encouraged. Brother, thank you again for inviting me, man. I'm willing to come back at any time, and I hope this helps. I feel refreshed, you know what I mean? I feel refreshed. You know, sometimes this is therapeutic for me because I love to talk. It's the same stuff just getting me in trouble in school. I was just practicing in class.
Hey, look. That's why I'm like, hey.
This is good, though, brother. So, yeah, man. Yeah, let's go be great. Let's go be great.
Hey, I can't understand. Dang. Hey, man, look. Yeah, like I said, the door is always open.
I appreciate you, brother.
And I thank you for even just coming in and just sharing your time. Like, y'all, this man just came in from Tallahassee today. Y'all understand, like, the sacrifice he made just be here. I just say thank you again.
Man, it's my ministry, man. It's an opportunity, man. You never know. If we touch one person, we touched enough.
Yes, sir.
We touched enough.
Yes, yeah. Sir. Oh, man, I'm about to get Mr. Terrence out of here. So look, like I say, always before I turn off one of these episodes, y'all remember, dream big dreams because small dreams have little magic. And how big would you dream if you know you couldn't fail? And last but not least, remember this, y'all do y'all best and let God take care of the rest.
Amen.
Man, thank you again, Mr. Terrence.
Hey, appreciate you, brother.
Thank you, Keyshawn, on the switchboard.
Shout out to Keyshawn.
Rogers, man. Y'all, that man is doing a great job, man. Helping this bring it from Boys to Men podcast to the new generation.
This has been good.
Yes, sir. Now, like I said, peace, love, happiness, y'all. We out. Yes,
sir. Better throw some respect on my name. Gotta remind these folks on the daily. Cause I ain't really been myself as lately. My mind's evolving and my heart is changing. Starting to see the world how it should be. It's positively sweet like a half full glass of tea. And I don't know, every day my grandmama pray for me. Hey, and I know exactly what she proudly say about me. Give that girl some love, joy.